This is the Tom Likas Show.
Tom Likas, this motherfucker here, oh hey, true player.
I love that. That's my gig. That's what I do.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time. 24-7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at tomeverywhere.com. It's tomeverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. It's you. It's me. And it's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show, and we are joined here by family law attorney Adam Sachs in studio. Adam, always good to have you in.
Great to be here, Tom.
What's going on in the world of family law?
Well, I have to start off with one thing, Tom, that's unbelievable. This horrible shooting in San Bernardino, right?
Yeah.
This is a couple that was together for 4 years. And apparently had just gotten married in January. Isn't that romantic?
Mm.
And he immediately turned, apparently, to accusing her of cheating on him. I love that little jealousy thing. And whether it was true or not, she was a school teacher of special needs children. And he went to the school. They let him in because, obviously, you know, they knew him. And he said he had something for her. And he sure did. He shot her dead in front of her class and killed another student while he was at it.
A special needs student,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, and injured a special needs kid, apparently, as well.
Now, isn't this a great example? Because I read this story. And isn't this a great example of how, if you are stupid enough to get married, the very least you should do is a minimal background check on someone?
Oh,
because it appears she had... Did she have any idea about his criminal background?
Yes, apparently he
she
had.
She did?
Yes, the mother was talking to reporters. That would be her mother. That he had a past that she did know, which included apparently domestic violence and firearms charges and all sorts of fun things. And, you know, but there's some kind of a woman's thing, Tom, that even when a woman dates a really crazy guy and he's done crazy things to other women, in particular, things that she should take note, like domestic violence, you know, that somehow a woman convinces herself, you know, he would never do that to me. Right.
Or, more likely, in my opinion, I know he's had problems in the past, but I love him and I'm going to fix him.
Right, right. That's right. Well, anyway, on that note, one of the things I've been thinking about, and we've talked about this a lot, is blended families. And you, Tom... I've kind of said in general that it's not really a good idea, to say the least, to date a single mother. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And there's sort of this popular culture thing that, you know, you're going to have this blended family with the half-sister and the stepbrother and like the Brady Bunch. Remember, there was the woman had three kids, the man had three kids, and they got married, and it was the Brady Bunch, right? And somehow that all worked out, and they had their little misadventures, but they all loved each other, you know? And broadly speaking, one way or another, when a woman's a single mother, you're raising her bastard children, her cast-off progeny of some other man who's, you know, generally in jail. That's usually what I hear, that she had this kid with this complete loser who doesn't see the kid, doesn't pay child support, et cetera, et cetera. And you, as a decent, good man, you step up to the plate, you take care of her child that's not your child, and then you know, she locks you in to make sure by having another child with you sometimes. But one way or another, the question is how does that go? And what's really worthwhile tonight, I have a guest, and he can tell us about this. He apparently got involved with a woman. Moved in with her, married her, and she had a kid, so he got with a single mother. And this was like a long time ago. And this is the interesting thing. So he's been paying all the bills, doing all the stuff. The kid's father was not involved at all. And now this kid is in his 20s. And it hasn't really worked out so great. So let's get him on.
Oh, my. All right. Here he is. We're calling him George.
George. Excellent. George.
Hey.
You there? Hey, how are you?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you
hey,
go.
How are you doing?
Great to talk to you, George. I really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, no problem.
So you married a woman who already had a kid, right?
Yes, I did.
And how old was the kid?
He was 1.5.
All right. So he's pretty little, right?
He's
and
little.
He's probably cute and adorable and whatever, right?
Yes.
And you did the right thing. You took care of him, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So he's like with you. You're like the only father or male figure that he's ever known, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, where's his dad?
Nowhere to be found.
Okay. So he's gone.
He's gone.
All right. So she didn't collect, like, any child support. He didn't visit on the weekends or whatever.
Well, initially, that's, you know, she tried. She was, she put in the paperwork. She did what, you know, all the single moms do.
Right.
Try to collect some money from the dad.
It was a futile.
And the guy was a deputy.
Right. Okay. There you go. Okay. So now you raise him, and he was okay. You had fun. It was, you know, it wasn't a total nightmare, right?
No, everything was, everything was great. Well, it's just, I guess, a normal family.
Right.
And, you know, all the way up to when you get into, like, junior high school.
Okay.
Teen years.
Now, you know, we have you in movies and stuff. You're this kind of selfless guy who raises this kid and does the right thing. I mean, did you feel any of that?
You know what? Now that I've seen that movie with, Big Daddy or something.
Okay, right.
You know, where he steps up to the plate. Yeah, it was pretty much like that. You know, everything was working fine. You know, we were working together towards a mutual goal, and everything was going good.
Okay, so an outsider who didn't know any details would kind of look at your example and say, well, that kind of worked out, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't so bad. I mean, I don't know how your family felt about it, but there you go, right? Okay. Now, I understand this is a while ago, and now he's in his 20s, right?
That's right.
How old is he?
He's 22.
22. Okay. And you're there with your wife in the house, and he still lives home?
He still lives at home, yes.
Okay. So he hasn't really gotten his act together?
Doesn't care to get his act together.
Okay. And what does he do with his days and afternoons?
Well, let me just break it down. On a regular day, he'll wake up around maybe noon.
Okay, that's good. That's good deadbeat time.
Yeah, good noon, 1 o'clock.
Okay.
You know, turn on the PlayStation, play video games for about an hour, maybe two.
Very good.
Then, you know, call up the friends, say, hey, come on over, we'll have some beers and play some video games.
Excellent, excellent. That's a great life. That's beautiful.
Awesome life.
And I remember something else. Didn't he have a girlfriend that he got pregnant or whatever?
Yeah, well, that's when the issues got started. When he started dating, he got into the age of dating, and, you know, he got his girl pregnant.
Excellent. So he's not a big birth control guy.
Not at all.
Excellent. And so she ends up, of course, having the baby, right?
Oh, yeah.
Very good, very good. And now that child and her live with you?
Now they live with me, yes.
Excellent, excellent. So your stepson is living kind of in his room in the family residence that he's always lived in. He wakes up midday, plays video games, and gets drunk and high. And he's got his girlfriend and his child also living with you.
Right.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Now, that's a little rough at some point, but the question that I want to ask you is, what's your position in order to talk with him about this? Because you were his father, basically, right? I mean,
yes.
It's not like your wife, his mother, gives you a hard time or anything, right?
Well, that's just it. Initially, you know, we work together. We would talk to him, try to straighten him out, just like any normal teenager. And it got to a point where it seemed like it was me nitpicking.
Right.
It was me pointing out his faults.
Right.
So, you know, she started getting defensive.
Right. So that's interesting. So you're saying I'm not so happy with our son, but she's saying, no. I'm his mother, and you're not his parent. Right?
Not in those words, but yes.
So you don't really have the father authority, right, to, like, kick him in the ass and to get him to go to school or get a job or do something productive with himself?
Well, this time, look, when I got with her, I thought by the age of 18, he's going to be going off to college and,
right,
you know, everything's going to be okie-dokie.
Now, George, I got to say something about that because I talked to a lot of guys in different situations, and they said, well, the kid's an asshole, and he's nasty because teenagers get nasty, but thank God I've only got him for another 2 years because he's like 16, and they figure 18 he's going to go, right?
No.
But that's not necessarily true, right?
No, not today. Not today. In this day and age, it's not going to happen. And one of the things that we don't keep in mind is she's never going to stop being his mother.
Right, well, of course.
So she's always going to be like, you know, my baby.
My baby.
No matter how old he is.
Right. So, my baby. So when you try to straighten him out, she comes to his defense, essentially.
Yes.
And so she's never, ever taking your side against her son. I mean, that's impossible.
Look, she'll start, but she won't follow through.
Right.
She'll say, yeah, we'll work with him, but she won't follow through.
Right. And he knows that she's soft on him. I mean, he knows that she's going to, like, you know, defend him in the end.
Oh, he's been working that situation since he was in junior high.
Brilliant. I know it. I've seen it a million times. And by the way, I'm not trying to beat up on you at all. I just really want you to tell this story because it's important for the guys. What guys don't realize, and I mean, here you did this literally 20 years ago. The kid was only a year and a half old when you first knew him, right? So, you know, you're setting a time bomb, essentially. You're planting a bomb that even if things are fairly okay and you love the woman or whatever, years later, you're going to be sorry. You're just not going to have the role that you had. Now, if you were his natural father, you could tell him at some point he's got to get the hell out. He's got to stand on his own 2 feet, right?
Right.
Have you tried any of that?
Yes.
What did you do?
Oh, I'm going to get a job. I'm looking for it.
So you get on his case. One
it.
Second. So you get on his case and you tell him, pull yourself together something, and he starts giving you some BS about he's looking for a job.
Yeah. So the question is, at what time? Is it between the video games, the drinking, or the smoking weed?
Right. And so the question is, in terms of your life, right? So you're working hard, right? You're knocking yourself out, right?
You know what? I even went back to school.
Oh, wow.
I stopped going to school when I got together with her.
Okay.
And then, you know, in order to set the example, I said, look, I'll go back to school.
Right.
And
so,
I thought maybe that was going to...
So he saw you do that, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he was like a teenager or whatever.
Yes.
So it's not like, you know, I'm picturing, you know, people always blame the example, so... You know, you're this drunk and you don't give a crap, and so, you know, he kind of grows up seeing that, right?
Right.
But that's not the case at all.
That's not the case at all, no.
Amazing. So, as it is, you end up carrying the whole family, right? You're working your ass off.
Mm-hmm.
You're paying for this grown-up kid now, this stepson. You're paying for his baby mama and the kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're telling him you better get a job or whatever, and he's laughing in your face, essentially. And there's no end to this because his mother protects him.
Exactly.
So how has this impacted your life and your marriage and whatnot?
Well, we don't communicate. We can't talk about any situation that pertains to him because it automatically becomes an issue. Becomes a fight, an argument that, you know, that I don't want it to scale any further, so I stop arguing about it.
So this is like the third rail in your marriage, right? This is like you cannot touch this.
Right.
And no matter what you do, I mean, if you bring it up, it's going to cause a fight with her right away.
Oh, of course. And even if it's something minuscule, it creates an issue.
And this is your life now, right? Because he lives with you. So this is in your face at all times, right?
Yes. I I essentially stay out of the house so that I don't have to see the situation. So
right.
I find myself going to the library, go read a book, go work out, go to the gym, do something to improve myself.
Right.
And, you know, just stay out of the house.
Tom talks about this, that, like, you know, this is some of this kind of like a Sam Kinison routine from years ago. He talked about how a guy never goes straight home. A guy has to go to, like, a sports bar to get drunk to be able to get home to be able to deal with it, you know? So you're sort of describing something that I think is something that happened to Gary and Tom and Dino, where I'm trying to remember it exactly, Tom, but as I recall, you went to, like...
It was me. I was...
But you went to a construction site or something?
No, I used to stay out... No, I used to stay out with Gary and Dino.
Right.
Because I didn't want to go home and face the very bad situation. The minute I walk in with my friends...
Oh, forget it.
The wife is going to say... You're bringing them over,
these assholes
over.
Again.
I'm going to go downstairs while you talk to your friends and things
God.
Like that. So ultimately what we did one day the guys were in the car with me, and when I saw that MTL was home, I thought, I said, why don't we just go up the hill a bit? We went up the hill to a house that was under construction.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
And we hung out socializing there while I looked down on my own house. It was the ultimate in symbolism. I'm above the house by like several stories, looking down at my own house because I couldn't go in because it was inhabited by my ex who made things miserable.
It's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. I can't even fathom it. To be paying the bills and dealing with all the nonsense and focused on all the aspects of your life and to work so hard, to be so unappreciated, and then on top of it all, this like just to come home and you can't even walk into your own house. You can't even go into your own house because your wife is home and she's gonna give you shit. George, I think that's a nightmare. I'm really sorry, man. That's crazy.
It is. That's why I called you.
I understand. Now, in general, we're talking about the greater sense. I'm going to help you with the divorce or whatever you need to do. But the question is, seriously, and this is why I brought you on. And I told you, I'm not here to beat you up. This is just circumstances. I really feel like you did a good thing. You went the whole nine yards, and you really pushed, and you did the best you could for this kid. He doesn't appreciate it. That's pretty obvious. What do you say now to a guy looking at this situation? Example, the guy that meets a really hot piece of ass, a really nice woman, a woman that's willing and interested and she's beautiful, whatever her story is, and she's, you know, she's just, whatever the situation is, she has a kid. That's the bottom line. The kid could be a few years old or whatever the age of the kid, and she's kind of selling you, look how sweet my kid is. He's going to be so kind to you. You guys are going to have this little family, blah, blah, blah. What do you say to that?
I would say watch out. You got to watch out because you're not looking at the signs and you're not seeing what's coming. You can't foresee what the future holds. And believe me, it's a shaky ground because – again, mothers, they're going to, you know, blood is, what do they say, blood is thicker than water?
Yeah.
They're gonna stick with the kids. You can never replace that kid, number one. Number two is, no matter how hot she is, you know, they can always change. And I'm sure Tom knows this. I mean, that, you know, going out with beautiful women, and you try to get to know them, and they always hide that Mr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, right?
That is true.
You haven't gotten on their bad side. So once you get on their bad side and you see that bad side, that's when you'll know.
But
that's too late.
With respect to the child, right? As the stepfather, right? You don't really have a voice, right? You get overruled no matter what.
Yes.
You're always wrong. That's number one.
No matter what I say, even if I'm right, you know, if I mention this to anyone else, everyone will say, yeah, you know what? What the hell is he thinking?
Right.
What is he thinking? Why is he not following your footsteps?
Well, I mean, in all fairness, you don't expect him to be the same as you, but to be a bum is a bit much, you know?
Yeah. You know what? Even if, you know, he had gotten his girl pregnant.
Right.
But you know what? Have some respect. Respect in general, because you know you're not paying any bills.
Right.
Because someone's supplying you or giving you a helping hand. And that's what, you know, she said. Let's help them. I'm like, look, I don't mind helping somebody, but help that means that I'm helping them, not doing it for them.
Right.
So.
It seems to me also, and this is something that's really difficult, is that the mother should see you, theoretically, as the co-parent. So if the kid is doing bad, it's the two of you, as the two parents, right, trying to straighten the kid out. Now, I'm not a big believer in, you know, hitting kids or whatever, so I'm not even talking about that.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that you and the other parent are supposed to work together to help the kid and to guide the kid. But what ends up happening, and by the way, this is not 20% of the time or some of the time, this is 100% of the time, is that you, as the quote-unquote father, are talking to the kid and saying to him, you can't do this, you can't play games all the time, you can't whatever, and the mother is his ally, and she's against you, and she's telling you, don't tell that to my kid, don't say that to him, that's none of your business, and she puts herself as this bulwark against you and the kid. And that's the worst part of all. From a very young age, these kids realize this and manipulate it as far as they can go, and your guy here seems to be absolutely professional at this, where he knows mom is going to take his side and he's going to play the game, and so you essentially have got to keep the gravy train coming, paying for his life, paying for his slut and his kid, and getting none of the benefits of being a father, none of the real appreciation or love or whatever, and you're supposed to just, like we always talk about, be the human wallet and shut up and pay the bills, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that it?
That's pretty much it. I mean, that's what's going on right now.
And it's harmed your relationship with the mother also. So it's like, it's not like you have this great intimacy with her with the crazy kid and she's also, you know, shrugging her shoulders, you know? She knows her kid's screwed up, but she doesn't care enough to do anything. And if you try to intervene or do anything, you're wrong. And then she's pissed at you 24/7. And you're doing like Tom. You're thinking like, you know, driving home from work and saying, oh my God, I can't step into my own house. It's crazy.
It's pretty much the same situation as Tom had.
So you're frustrated? But, you're like going out of your mind with this?
Oh yeah, if I had to do it all over again, I wish I could grab myself and say, hey, don't do it.
It's funny, right? Sometimes I could send a message like today to my younger self, you know, and say, hey, you know, like, you know, send myself a letter or something, like leave it on my desk when I was in college or something.
Yeah.
And I could read the letter from my older self to my younger self saying, hey, you're about to do this and do that and don't do it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Adam, let me ask you this question.
Sure.
About George. Seriously, does he have to have his wife's son living there, much less the son's girlfriend?
No.
And the kid? What rights does he have?
Well, he could literally evict him, but she's not going to let that happen, right? That's the whole point.
Yeah. If I try to do that, I mean, I think Adam mentioned that, and I think if I did that, it would just add fuel to the fire.
But you do understand that if you want to get rid of them, you have to get rid of your wife. Are you willing to do that or no?
Oh, yeah. I'm at that
you
point.
Are.
Well,
yeah, I'm at that point. All right.
Well, that took a while,
all
but
right,
I guess
so,
you're here now.
But there's other issues that we need to make sure that we address so that I can, you know, I want to have a clean break, as clean as possible. But, you know, I don't want to put myself in a situation where I'm confronting this guy and, you know, I'm having to slap him around and then I end up in jail.
Right. By the way, that's true too, Tom.
Why would he have to do that? For example, Adam, why couldn't George just leave?
Well, that's a thought. But then he would, you know, give up a lot of his rights maybe to the place, right? I mean, he's got to work out.
Do you own your house, George?
Say what?
Do you own your place?
Yes.
You do?
Yes, I do.
And does your wife have any ownership claim there?
According to California, community property.
So you bought this house while you were married?
Yes.
Okay.
They've been together for 20 years, Tom.
No, I understand that, but he could have bought the house 25 years ago. I don't know.
I understand.
Yeah, but even if I bought my house
in L.A., I bought it 20 years ago, and I still own it because I bought it before anyone else moved in.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things why I call Adam and have some questions in regards to, well, what can I do? What's my next move? And, that's why I need a professional to tell me what I got to do.
Right.
Right, and what I'm trying to clarify here, because we're talking about a lot of details, and I don't want to run out of time this hour to help you, so I'm trying to clarify this. But you just made clear, which wasn't clear, that you're ready to break up with your wife. You're ready to do that. Now, so now this brings up other questions, and you probably have a lot more than I have. But, for example, Adam, this man who is living in George's house, does he have any rights here other than squatter's rights? I mean,
he's a tenant, essentially, Tom. He's living there. He's the wife's son, and she's not going to let George do anything to him, obviously.
Right.
And then their whole relationship on top of it. And I think if he starts going after the kid for real, I think she's going to come up with some domestic violence story, or she's going to do something nasty, file for a divorce or whatever.
Right.
And obviously, she doesn't care about her marriage. Her kid is the first and only priority. And as the stepfather, that's unbelievable, considering all the sacrifices and positive things that George has done for this kid. After all these years, 20 years worth, it's not going to be appreciated nor remembered whatsoever. It's the ultimate thankless job.
We always say on this show that no good deed goes unpunished, and here is still another example of that.
There's no two ways about it. So my message to the boys, and I'm sure this is kind of in the background of everything we just talked about with George, is you can't do it. You just can't. Don't do it. Guys call me all the time, and they tell me, what if we write something down? What if we make an agreement? What if we make a prenup? The kid has a father, blah, blah, blah. You cannot get involved with a single mother. It just is absolutely not a good idea, and certainly not in the permanent sense. If you marry her, you move in with her, her kid is going to be, cute and smiley when he's two. You're going to end up raising
that
kid.
And your nightmare as an adult.
Yeah. And if you think that she is going to be on your side about anything regarding that kid, you are a fool. And that's it. George, I know you were a little reluctant to come on. I really appreciate you coming on and talking about this with the boys. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So now wait, before we let George go.
Sure.
Now, assuming you're helping him, what steps does he take here? If he wants to get a divorce,
yeah,
he's stuck with all these people living in a house that he co-owns with his wife.
Can
you
believe
it? How do you even get started unraveling that?
Well, I think a lot of what you just said, Tom, is correct. I think that, we talked about trying to take any steps against the guy. It's not going to happen against the son. George, is going to have to file for a divorce. He's going to have to walk away from all that, probably. And he's going to have to try to get her to either buy him out or sell the place. And she, after all he did for her and sacrificing, in terms of helping her and bailing her out of a stupid situation of having a child with an irresponsible guy, which is something women just love to do, here it is years later, she's not going to appreciate that at all. She's going to be super angry, super nasty, and we're going to have to deal with it. It's almost all predictable. But for George to keep going on as this sucker, paying all this expense and dealing with all this nonsense in his own house, and he can't even go to his own house. It's sick. It's sick. And I've tried to talk to George. I think it's very hard to deal with, but I think George is going to have to make a clean break, as he was saying before. But obviously, that's a very hard choice for people to make. When you're with someone for 20 years, whatever the story is, you got roots. It's confusing to just, up and leave, So we're going to have to deal with a big mess. And it's just amazing how stupid and narcissistic people are and how unappreciative they are. And to just have a simple conversation.
There's nothing we can do about that, Adam. There's nothing we can do about that.
But Tom, look how
that's
far it goes.
That's a decision that George made 20 years ago.
Yeah. Now he's going to have to break, and it's going to be very tough, and I'm going to help him, of course.
Is he going to end up having to live with his wife in this house until things get worked out?
I wouldn't stay another minute if I were him.
But if he leaves, you were talking earlier about possibly losing rights here.
Yeah, well, obviously, when you leave, you lose the residency of the place, and she's going to hang on to it, and she's going to cry that she needs the house, and she's used to the house, and we're going to have to push for the house to be sold. The one good thing is the kid's grown up, so he doesn't have any child support or whatever to pay. But don't forget, if the kid was younger, he could have been paying child support for a kid that's not even his. So, I mean, it just doesn't work. It's just nuts. And there's so many women out there who have kids, and the first thing they tell you is what a loser the father is and how irresponsible he is. He doesn't pay support. He doesn't care to see the kid. He doesn't do anything for the kid. It's almost normal at this point, and it's so sick. And stepfathers, you can't – it's like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. You know, it's not going to fix things. The kid is not having the proper person. That's his father, his natural father, to help raise him. So he's going to be this hellion as a teenager. He's going to be a loser as an adult. And that's what you got. Here it is. Here's the example of it. I would avoid it like the plague.
Right. But he's there now. And all kinds of things come to my mind. You know, should George be paying the part of the bills that relates to the stepson or the stepson's girlfriend?
Ugh,
or the kid.
Are you kidding me?
But I'll bet he is.
Of course he is.
Paying the groceries.
100%.
I'll bet he has more rooms in that house than two people need. He's paying for this.
There's no doubt he's paying for the whole party, and why should he be? It's ridiculous.
Well, Tom, I heard one time in your show you mentioned a couple of things that you were doing, and I started practicing some of those things. Now, the light bill is no longer under my name.
Excellent.
The cable bill
Good.
Is no longer under my name. The internet, there is no internet. So all the other bills that I can get rid of that I don't have to put under my name, they're gone.
So there's no cable bill? What about a gas bill? What about a water
bill? No, I'm not paying that.
That's
and
something.
So she's paying for everything?
She needs to pay for that now. I ain't paying for it.
Oh, so she doesn't know you've done that yet.
Oh, no, I did it. I said, look, you expect me to pay for all this stuff, and we have this amount of people living in this house. Said, well, if you want to split things halfway, we can try to split it halfway. But halfway would mean just you and me. Otherwise, I'm not paying for the electricity.
If there's five people in that house, I'm paying 20% of the expenses.
Right.
So in other words, when you go to Ralph's to buy groceries, if the bill is $100, I'm paying $20.
That's right.
But are you doing that?
I stopped paying the bills in regards to those bills.
So where do the groceries come from? When dinner is served, who paid for it?
I don't eat at home, Tom.
Really?
I eat out.
Jesus, dude.
I eat out all the time.
You've really disengaged.
Yeah, I eat out all the time. I don't eat at home. The only thing I buy for the house that I eat at home is something that I make sure that they don't like fish and salad.
By the way, has your wife started paying 100% of the electric bill, 100% of the other bills? Is there cable TV? Is she paying? What's happening?
She's paying for that stuff because she wants her son to be able to watch TV. She wants her son to be able to play video games, so she needs to pay for the internet. I said, I ain't paying for it.
So he's there in name alone, basically.
Yeah,
right.
Pretty much. I'm 1 foot out the door. I mean, I thought about just walking away. And Adam said, it's just not a good idea.
Now, did you buy your house 20 years ago or 15 or 10? When did you buy it?
2000.
So, do you have equity in your house?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Yes.
All right.
There's equity in the house, but there's some issues with that equity. It's tied up.
You mean you have a second mortgage or something?
No, there's a judgment on the house.
Can you believe she got a judgment against her, Tom, during the marriage and forgot to tell him?
Who? Wait a minute.
His wife.
Did that happen?
She lost a court case.
What?
She got sued, man.
Yeah, she got sued. So, in California, because I am married to her, that lien gets put on the community property.
Right, because you never got a prenup, which is what I tell you guys to do all the time, right?
Needless to say.
Yeah.
Just pointing it out for the boys out there, here's what happens when you don't get a prenup. Here's what happens.
Yeah.
So after that judgment, after that lien is paid off, do you have any equity in that house at that point?
I might get a dollar, Tom.
Well,
$1.
What is the point of George wasting his time waiting to stay in a house that he doesn't even have any equity in?
Well, I wanted to try to separate it where the equity from her, you know, her share, goes to her judgment, and we keep him out of that, and so he gets the other half, which should be his alone.
But wait a minute, if there's a judgment, I'm curious.
Judgment's
against her. Wow.
Well, the judgment isn't against
him. The judgment is against her, but they don't have a prenup. Isn't that half his responsibility?
It could be. We're going to try to avoid that, obviously. But
right.
When you say, what's the reason for him to stick around, Tom, there isn't any. That financial situation, the situation with the stepson and the girlfriend and all the other stuff, I really can't believe the guy doesn't eat there, he doesn't live there, he doesn't go home if he can avoid it. It's way past the time to leave. And I think that's where we're headed.
And because of the length of the marriage, Adam.
Yeah.
Is he going to get clobbered with vagina money here?
No, I believe she makes less than he does, but that's going to be a problem too. So wow. I got a lot on my plate.
That's going to be keeping you awfully busy.
Yes.
One of the things is that we make about the same amount.
Right. That might be the saving grace.
What's keeping me from going to pursue my MBA is if I go for an MBA and I'm still married, she might get more money. More rights. I don't know. So, you know, I seriously consider going back and getting my ABA, but I'm afraid to even improve in that sense.
So, in other words, if he does something positive for himself and gets himself more income, that's actually going to hurt him now. So he's got to put that off.
Right.
Crazy.
Wow.
Disincentivization, perversely.
Wow. Unbelievable. I hope the guys are hearing this. I really do. Here's an example of why you need a prenuptial agreement. Here's an example of why you don't need to date a single mother. Here's an example of why you don't want other men's kids living in your home. I mean, it all comes home here.
Yep, here you go.
Wow.
Unbelievable. I love you, George. Thanks, man. We're going to take care of you.
All right, thanks, Sam.
All right.
Unreal, Tom. Wow. There's every reason, every story, a real person. You cannot do this, guys. Please, please don't ruin your life like this.
This is what happens. This is what I warn the guys about. Amazing. Let's take a break here, Adam. We'll come back. Family law attorney Adam Sachs is here. Now, you heard what's going on with George. You may have a problem like that or even worse. Who knows? George should have had a prenup. Didn't. Shouldn't have got with a single mother. Did. Shouldn't have been with another man's kid living in the house. Did that too. And look where he's at. You may have questions for Adam, whether you're thinking about getting a divorce, you're separated, or maybe your attorney is botching your divorce. That could be happening. We could talk about vaginamony, child support. We could talk about the prenup that George should have gotten that maybe you should get if you're going to get married against my advice. There's all kinds of issues that come up. And Adam, this is what his specialty is, and he will answer your questions. It's free legal advice for you. So if you're thinking about a divorce, or you're in the middle of a divorce, or you're thinking about a legal separation, or anything related to that, call us right now at this number, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's our number. It's 901-3000-TOM. 866.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants.
Get the app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show. The bonus hour. With family law attorney Adam Sachs. In studio answering your questions. It's free legal advice for you at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000. Tom, that's the number to talk to Adam. 901-3000-866. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check me out on Facebook and send me on the World Wide Web at www.adamlawyer.com. And you can email me, adam@adamlawyer.com, and I answer email personally.
We love that. Adam Sachs here every Tuesday for the bonus hour. And your calls, any legal question you have regarding family law, Adam is here to answer it. So we don't care if you get a divorce or you're separated or... One of the ones I think about are the people who are in the middle of a divorce and the lawyer is screwing up. You must see that a lot, right?
Oh, Tom.
Yeah.
Listen, this is not a crazy ego thing, okay? Seriously. I'm in court and I see lawyers doing the most ridiculous things. Seriously. Like real amateur stuff, you know? And the problem is, you know, they're like, quote unquote, my enemies, you know, if I'm in a case with them. So it's like, what do I do? Do I say something to the lawyer? Do I tell him, look, you're doing it wrong, you know? But the problem is I'm helping him against me, you know? Sometimes I almost feel bad for them. It's so ridiculous. And these people, I kind of have this joke that stupid people hire stupid lawyers, you know? You have this husband, and he's such a fool, and he hires this lawyer that sort of matches his personality. And that lawyer just takes his money and totally, totally ruins his case. And he ends up getting killed. He ends up getting clobbered, you know? And these situations and this thing that we just had George on about blended families and these circumstances, you know, divorces, a lot of people say to me, how long is it going to take? And, you know, it should only take a couple of months. But nowadays, and this is not just California, this is a real national and other countries as well, you know, if you are foolish about it and you don't do it properly, plus your lawyer is a fool, okay, you can make your divorce last for years. And it can be the most ruinous thing. Spiritually, people like having nervous breakdowns. And I've talked to people that literally have, you know, 5 years, 6 years, 8 years, and they're still not divorced. Can you imagine that, Tom? Seriously, Jesus.
Yeah. By the way, I can because I've known people who've gone through that.
Can you imagine 8 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, it doesn't matter on the length of the marriage. That's another joke. You have people that were married for 2 years or 3 years, and the divorce took 5 years.
As far as I can tell, that has more to do with how much cashola is at stake.
Not necessarily.
Rather than how long they're married. No?
Money certainly is a factor, but if you got kids to fight over, forget it. That's the ultimate, not money. Jeez.
Yeah.
Money, Tom, you can sit with a pad, and you're right, we have these assets divided, here you go, right? I mean, you know, it's just the numerical, basically. Sometimes you fight about how much assets are actually worth or something. But when you talk about kids, that's much more complicated. And the question, people fighting over which schools they're going to go to and what religion they're going to be and how much with mom and is the stepmother allowed to be there and what about drug use and, oh, forget it. It's endless. That's the endless thing.
You know, the kid's going to wear Baby Gap and Nike or you're going to wear generic.
You'd be surprised how specific clothing. It can get.
Yep.
And then,
so when you have to come in and bail someone out who's in you know, is drowning in the middle of a divorce... You know, how does that work? I mean, I'm just imagining what that must be like when some other attorney who did not do a great job, it's all screwed up. There's things you know have been done wrong. Somebody says, help me out.
Well, like you say.
How does that work?
Well, that's like fixing the bad brake job. Here's a person who comes to me who's already a couple years into the divorce with a real schmuck of an attorney who fires that attorney, hires me, and just basically throws this mess in front of me. And I got to go over it, obviously, piece by piece. But what's amazing, and this is really a factor, Jesus, Tom, so many guys are so emotionally insane about the whole thing, especially guys. Isn't that weird? We've raised this generation of men with single mothers, you know, and they don't really have a real masculine mindset. They're like girls. And they tell me stuff like, I still love her, and I think I can get her back, and I don't want you to do anything that upsets her, and she's still the love of my life, and they're facing restraining orders, and we're in these child abuse court cases, and the woman is putting the screws to the guy, and he's telling me that he still loves her, and he's phoning her to try to talk to her. He's got a restraining order against contacting her. Can you imagine?
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm pleading with him. I'm saying to him, please, you don't understand how bad it is. And he tells me, well, I just talked to her an hour ago. I'm like, what do you mean you talked to her an hour ago? What the hell did you do that for?
Oh, my God. Oh.
It's hard,
I always tell
man.
The guys, never press the rewind button. Once you've decided to go or they've decided to go, that's it.
We have to make
rules for yourself.
We're in a situation where he's talking about it, and we're trying to, like, focus on it or whatever. And there's a woman that's literally ruining his life. You know, she's not letting him see the kids. And then somehow there's this, like, I don't know, like, if you had an abusive parent, right? So you have this mother who was very loving to you, and then sometimes she was hitting you or yelling at you, you know? So I think you get mixed up. So here you have this ex-wife or wife or whatever she is, a strange spouse, and... You know, she's horrible. She's done all these horrible things, but that's sort of like your mom, you know? So sometimes she's horrible, but then she's very loving some other times. So here's the guy trying to get on her good side or something, you know? And if I fight back, I'm ruining it, you know? So it's very tough. It's very hard to
Unbelievable.
Focus. It's very normal.
Oh, my God. We're going to wrap it up with Adam coming up here. Your calls, 901-3000-TOM. Family law attorney Adam Sachs in studio with free legal advice. It's every Tuesday. He's got free legal advice for you. 901-3000-TOM. You can dial Adam right now if you like. 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show. One more time, Adam. How can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. And you can send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right, and if you missed your chance to call and talk to Adam live, don't worry, there'll be another opportunity coming up. Adam is here every Tuesday. The next appearance by Adam will be Tuesday, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's News 4 Guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Yes.
An Ohio woman with a paw print tattoo accused of sleeping with a dog has pleaded not guilty. I mean, by sleeping, I mean having sex with a dog. There's video of it.
Ugh.
Amber Finney, she's 33. She says, this apparently took place on New Year's Day, that the recording was a fake and she had been drugged with something, slipped into her drink.
Right. Because drugs often make you do that.
Right.
By the way, this is terrible.
This was posted on social media. And it took them, took the authorities this long to track her down and arrest her. It turns out that this was legal in Ohio up until last year.
You know,
just bad timing. She did it on New Year's Day.
Our friends, the police say that she goes by the moniker Hood Princess on Facebook. She's owned multiple pets over the years, including a pit bull mix named Biggie.
They got a picture of Biggie there.
Plus,
and they don't know if it was Biggie that was in the video.
Plus a black and white cat. They don't give the name of the cat.
Right. Look at Hood Rat. I'm sorry,
Hood
what
Princess.
Is she? Hood Princess.
But look at Biggie, dude.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I certainly hope it was not Biggie. You know what I'm saying?
Man.
Austin cops say they uncovered a prostitution ring at an Austin massage parlor.
Yeah. How do you think they figured this
well,
out?
Well, apparently a waste pipe there became clogged, and when they went to unclog it, they found hundreds of condoms.
Correct. So a condom backup in the pipe caused this place to become on the radar of the police.
Right.
Hundreds of condoms. Hundreds.
Never flush the condoms. See what happens?
Stupid.
Not by the hundreds, anyway. Because they don't just disintegrate in the water. They hang around for a while.
Hello, homie.
Yes. According to USA Today, yes, your grandmother is having sex.
This is terrible. They can't do
no.
this.
They say 65 is the new 45. And no, it's not with just one partner. They're sleeping around.
Yeah, they're getting their groove on.
Yeah.
And they're not practicing safe sex.
Right. People 55 and older account for more than a quarter of the estimated 1.2 million Americans living with HIV, by the way.
That'll do it.
Between 2010 and 2014, gonorrhea cases increased by more than 90%. Syphilis infections by 65%. Chlamydia by 52%.
Fuck them.
It's time to open up a medical clinic.
This is all
right near senior centers.
Right. This is all 65 and older crowd.
Fuck them.
Those kinds of delicious things going on there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. The National Sex Survey showed many seniors having active sex lives, ranging from a variety of behaviors and partner types.
Hello, homies.
Yeah.
Hello, homies.
But adults 40 and older have the lowest rates of condom use. They, you know, what are they, you know, so what? They die, you know?
I guess they've been through,
lived a full life.
Been through the ringer. They don't care now.
Right. In 2015, a then 85-year-old woman known as the Condom Lady spent time touring senior living homes in Florida, educating residents about safe sex.
Can you imagine?
The Condom Lady.
Yeah, if she ding dong, hey, it's the Condom Lady. How we going?
Get the fuck out of here. We like to go bareback.
Get out, lady. Yeah.
Finally, sad news today in the rock and roll world. Jay Giles found dead in his Massachusetts home at the age of 71. Yeah, I'm alone now.
Freeze frame has closed it. That's
you can stop singing that now, by the way. It was a great tribute up and down the hallways and everything. That was good. It was nice.
By the way, you all act right. As if I were alone. I had the backing of Adam Michael Sachs.
Hammer time. There's plenty more at news4guys.com. Of course, you can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
You can stop singing that now, by the way. It was a great tribute.
Fuck him.